for accepting that plaque of appreciation. And now let's come to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be found in your house today. Well, we made an effort to come here because we love you, we appreciate you, we honor you, and we thank you that we can come to your word. We believe in the power of your word. We believe in the working of your Holy Spirit to take the word and to apply it where necessary in our lives. And I pray you will have your way in every life, young and old, in this place today. We're your children, we're your people, we're your servants. Lord, we love you and we want you to have your way with every one of us. We ask your blessing and your help on this word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And so the title of the message you can see is "To whom much is given, much is required." These are the very words of Jesus himself. To whom much is given, much is required. Do you know that you have been given much, kids? Do you know you have much? You have so, so much. But every one of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior have been given so much. Wow. Just think about the forgiveness that we have received. No more guilt and shame. Think about the grace and the mercy, the new life we have in Christ. Think about the Holy Spirit given to lead and guide and direct us. We are a blessed, blessed people if we know Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. And what is our response? Surely there must be a response to the goodness of God. Of course, we could never, never repay the Lord. How could we even begin to think of how we could repay the Lord for all his goodness to us? But surely, when we know the Lord, the response of our heart is like the psalmist. Here we have it in Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? There has to be an attitude of gratitude when we have encountered the Lord in our lives and his goodness, his mercy, and his grace, and his many benefits to us. There must be a response of thanksgiving. There must be a response of gratefulness. Lord, what's my part? What's my part in the kingdom? How can I respond to you? Because we're in the family of God, and every one of us have a part in his family. We're not just called to sit pretty. We're all involved, and there needs to be a response in our heart to the Lord. The psalmist said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And he responds, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Do you know, many people come to church and they hear the word of the Lord and they've heard the gospel message over and over and over, and yet they still hesitate to truly give their all to the Lord and respond to him. Because, you know, salvation is offered to all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. We don't want to be thrown on the in the fire like an old tire that perishes. Will not perish but have everlasting life. But we need to respond to him. Not sit on the fence, but say, yes, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The psalmist said, I will do it. I'll take the cup of salvation. And many of us in this room have known the joy as we have received the invitation to accept Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We've taken that cup of salvation and we are free to draw water from the wells of salvation with great joy from within us, because we have the living God in us and with us. of salvation. But this can also be read as I will take and lift up the cup of salvation. And you know, it's not enough just to think about ourselves when we're talking about eternity. It's not enough that we receive the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the new life in Jesus for ourselves and not be concerned about those around us. And so our path as believers, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ is, yes, I know who I am in Christ. I'm a new creation. I know Jesus. I've received him. But we need to lift up the cup of salvation so that others may call on him and know him as Lord and Savior. And sometimes we say, especially in the West these days, it's not very popular to be a follower of Christ. And you might sense some rejection of some kind as you seek to share Jesus with those around you. But do you know our brethren all around the world are suffering great persecution and they don't back down. 1 in 7 Christians around the world in the 2022 census was suffering severe persecution, some to the death. 1 in 7 Christians. We don't often hear their stories, but they do not step back. They keep on going because they have a relationship with their Lord and Savior and they cannot deny him. So for us, we don't have that kind of threat that many in the world have. And we also need to shine our light. Luke 8:16 says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. We are now the light of the world. We are representing Jesus. And you know what? Not too many are rushing at the doors to come in and see our light. And sometimes we have to go out and share the light of Jesus with others. And this is our young people, especially during the lockdown years. They went out and they sang, they serenaded, singing the songs of the Lord early morning. They went and they sang house to house. They shared gospel tracts. They prayed for the family, doing their best to share their light. And God gives us ideas. He gives us things in our heart that he drops into our heart to do. And all we need to do is to be obedient and step out and do what God impresses us to do. And so our young people shining their light, going out. And God has something for all of us to do to shine our light where he has planted us. Sometimes he transplants people. This is my 37th year in the Philippines. And you prosper where he puts you. But he doesn't transplant all of us. He places us where he wants us to shine and to grow and to bear fruit. We just need to be available. Isaiah was available. And this very familiar scripture, Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. How many in the ministry today who offered their lives to serve the Lord full time in some capacity know this scripture so well because we've all responded to it at some time or other. But it's for every believer to say, yes, Lord, what have you got for me? I'm available. I'll speak for you. I'll do what you put in my heart to do. God is still looking for his representatives, his people to stand up. and do what He puts in our hearts to do. I hope you will be found faithful as one of His servants to say, yes, Lord, I'm available, I'm willing. Whatever you say, I will do. So the question is in Matthew 24, 45 to 47, the words of Jesus again. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Do you want to be a faithful and wise servant? You know, we look at this passage and we say, this is Pastor Steve. I hope you're doing your part, Pastor Steve, because one day you have to stand before the Lord and give an account that you're breaking the word of God to the people. But it's not just the pastors. It's every one of us who are the servants of the living God. We say, oh, I'm a child of God. Yes, we're His children. But we've also accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, meaning we belong to Him. He's the boss. We follow what He says. And so, in some way, we are all servants of the Lord, and we are all accountable to Him. And one day, we will give an answer to how we have lived our lives here and how we have obeyed Him or not. If you read this passage, you know, it's well for this servant who's doing what he's supposed to do. And when the master comes, he says, I'll put him in charge of everything. I can trust him. And then it goes on, oh, it's not so good for the other one. So we won't mention him too much. You can read him for yourself. But we know there's an accounting day. And we will give an account. And to whom much is given, much is required. Wow, where do we find that wise and faithful servant? Do you know, I was reading in Genesis 24, and I found a wise and faithful servant. Genesis 24. I guess that's the artist's impression of Abraham there. But I'm not going to talk about Abraham. We find a wise servant who was put in charge of all of Abraham's possessions. Wow! Abraham had a servant that he trusted so much, he put in charge of everything. We're sort of aware of Joseph, who was put in charge of Egypt, because he was a faithful servant. But maybe we haven't heard too much about Abraham's servant. I wonder if we can find some kind of parallel between ourselves as bond servants. You know, in the olden day back there, it seems, they had servants, bond slaves in the family. And I imagine that this servant grew up in the family of Abraham. And you know, there was a time when they could be free and go out. But a bond servant said, no, I love my master. I love this household. I love my family. I'm not going out. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And as the people of God, as the servants of the living God, we also don't want to go out from under the cover of His banner. We don't want to go out from His family. We want to stay close. We want to learn from Him, and we want to be trusted by Him to grow to be wise and faithful servants in the household of God. So, in Genesis 24:2, so Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house. You know, the oldest servant wasn't a novice. He was the oldest servant. He'd learned a thing or two scriptures in the New Testament. We're told, don't put a novice in charge too soon. You know, you have to be tried and learn the ropes so that you don't become proud and lifted up. There's a time. You know, we do what we're called to do faithfully. And at the right time, God promotes us to do more in his kingdom. And so here was the oldest servant of Abraham who ruled over all that Abraham had. And Abraham called him and said, I've got a mission for you. Wow, what a mission. What a mission. He said, I want you to go back to my home area, my hometown. I want you to find a bride for my son. Imagine. Well, maybe things would go better these days if we had more like this, where we had a wise and faithful servant to make the right choice. Because sometimes people don't make the right choices because of all their emotions, etc. So this was not an easy task. How would you like to be that servant told to go find a wife for Isaac, who was the heir of the promise, because God gave a promise to Abraham and his heirs that through you, through your seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. This was an awesome task. And I think it wasn't taken lightly by this servant. And so he said, well, first of all, we see that he was an unnamed servant. Do you know, he was not mentioned by name. And I think this is wonderful, because if you go to the next slide, you'll see we have lots of unnamed servants. You know me by name, but you don't know all of them. But they're serving the Lord. It's not important if people know your name. It's God. He's the one who knows our name. And that's the important thing, that he knows us. And he's watching over us. So some people say, oh, it was Eliezer, you know. Must have been Eliezer, you know, that servant of Abraham. He could have been dead by now, because Abraham was really old. But whoever he is, I'm glad that God did not mention him by name, because there are so many serving the Lord throughout the world who are unknown to the most of us. In the day we live in, people want to make a name for themselves. And the warning from Jeremiah to Baruch is a good one. Jeremiah 45 and verse 5, he says, and do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. It's not about us. It's always about God. It has to be about him. And this wise and faithful servant, he was so totally committed to his master Abraham. He honored him. He lifted him up. He never lifted himself up. He always spoke about his master and how good God had been to him. And for us, we don't need to lift ourselves up. We want to lift our master up. We want to lift our Lord up. Because if he's lifted up, you know, we lift him up and people can come to know him as we know him as our Lord and Savior. So let's have a look at the attitude of a faithful and wise servant. And of course, faithful, the first is trustworthy. Trust is learned. Do you know, sometimes we write ourselves off because we fail. And, you know, that's part of life. We learn, we fail, we fall. But a failure is not someone who falls and stays down, but they get up and they keep on going. Then you're in the victory. And I want to mention Judy, because whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. So that's Judy leading a kids club outreach. And Judy attended Kids Club. She became a Kids Club volunteer. And now Judy leads our every Kids Club outreach. Now, Judy, honestly, we were disappointed much with Judy. We were really disappointed. And she dropped out of her accounting course after 4 years. It was a 5-year course. It's disappointing. And we can't help it. Sometimes we're disappointed. But trust is learned. And we've watched Judy, and my goodness, what a great blessing Judy is as one of our staff at Center for Change. She uses her expertise in accounting to help us. It's not her first love. Her first love is teaching children. So she's in the school, and she's also leading our Kids Club outreaches. So, trust is learned. Don't give up on yourself. Rise up and keep on going. And of course, Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely you should give. And if you think about it, I know Pastor Steve mentioned earlier, how many of you received from Sunday school? How many of you went to Sunday school? You know, wow, there's a good attendance who went to Sunday school. Freely you have received, and you received from the labor of others. So it's only reasonable that we also freely give to serve others. And amazingly, in children's ministry, they're always looking for workers. And sometimes we're quick to forget how many people have imparted to us. And the challenge comes, you receive freely, so freely rise up, do your part, and give to others. So, trust is learned. And also a characteristic is not only trust of this faithful and wise servant, but he was humble. Say humble. Why humble? Here's a classroom scene, and you see our kids. They're not afraid or ashamed to put up their hand when they don't understand. And this servant of Abraham was humble enough to ask questions. After all, he was given a mighty commission to go and find a bride for Isaac. And he asked clarification. He wasn't proud enough to think, I know what I'm doing. He asked. In verse 5, he said, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from where you came? In verse 6, Abraham says, beware that you do not take my son back there. They were in the promised land. Don't take him back there. That's the wrong move. In verse 7 and verse 14, he says, but he said to me, Abraham, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and my father's house. Wow. Abraham was a wonderful man of faith. I imagine he was praying for a right wife for his son from an early age. Parents, that would be a wise move. Start praying now that your child marries the right person, because it does make a difference, and it certainly would make a difference in this situation. And so, wonderful that Abraham says to his servant, don't worry, the angel of the Lord, he's going to go before you, and you're going to find a wife, the right one, for my son. And of course, we have the Holy Spirit with us. And in a certain way, we're all commissioned to find the bride, to help find the bride of Christ, because we make up part of the bride of Christ. Every believer is part of the bride of Christ. We know Jesus is coming for a bride, a prepared bride without spot and blemish. brides, but one bride, the body of Christ, believers. But it's not complete. There's still more to be added. And so we are all commissioned to keep an eye out and be looking for those who can come and be part of the church, the people of God, whom Jesus is coming for. So, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us as we go about our way with the mission in mind. There's more people to come into the kingdom, and we keep looking and following the directions of the Holy Spirit to lead us to the right people. And at the same time, Abraham gave his servant an out. In verse 8 he says, because this was a big task, and he said, if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from the oath. You know, there's so many people, we want to see them in the kingdom, and we'd like to push them and get in. We know the right way, and we get frustrated that they don't seem to want to follow. But you know, every person has to come to the realization themselves that Jesus is the answer for their life. He's the right one for them, and that they will willingly follow us to Jesus. Follow the good news we share with them to lead them to the Savior. Thank you, Lord. So, people still have a free will. We can't push them into the kingdom as much as we would like. But as we're going about shining our lights, being those wise and faithful servants of the Lord, sometimes we ask questions, because how many of us really understand all that God asks of us? The why, we put something in our heart, the where it will lead to, or what will it accomplish? Sometimes we, you know, God impresses us and we think, oh, I can't see the point in that, but I'm your servant. I will obey you. And we step out and we do what God calls us to do. And that's our part, even though we don't understand it all. I love that verse in 27 where the servant says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And that's really my testimony. As I said, I went to the Philippines many long years ago. I was in Bible school and showing the Jesus film, evangelism, church planting. I never dreamt I would be working with kids from the streets. But you know, when you're following the Lord, he might lead you in a direction you didn't imagine. But our part, because we are servants of the Lord, is to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever you have for me. You say, and I'm not particularly good with children. I'm a single lady, and I've never been one of those, oh, I wish I had an orphanage or something. Never entered my mind. You know, all those maternal things weren't happening with me. But the important thing is to say yes, even when you don't understand. I being in the way, the Lord led. And you can see from on the streets, you know, it was when these kids were really upsetting me on the streets, the last thing I wanted to do was work with them. But God, by his grace, he puts love in our hearts where there wasn't love before. And it's God's love through us that enables us to do what God calls us to do. And God goes before and he opens up the way. Look, you saw a center for change. Who would have imagined that? I would never have imagined it. From just being on the streets with a feeding program, because I said, yes, well, we'll feed them. But step by step, God unfolds his plan. And if we are wise and faithful servants, we will keep listening to him and keep following what he tells us to do. John 14, 37 says, one sows and another reaps. Every one of us want to be reaping. That's the exciting part. You don't want to go forward bearing precious seed weeping. We want to be with the joy of harvesting. But, you know, someone has to do the same. And our part is to be obedient to the Lord. And when we all do our part, he gets the glory. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. Our part is to do what God calls us to do. And so, in verse 10, we see that the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. Well, he didn't take empty camels. Those camels were laden with gifts, precious gifts to find the bride for Isaac. And some of us say, well, I don't have many gifts. Let them go who have the 10 camels worth. You know, but every one of us are accountable. And sometimes we say, well, what can I do? I haven't got much. You know, but we use what is entrusted to us. Here's a picture of Esther. Now, Esther doesn't like to stand at the front and talk and do things, but she's a great mum, and she knows how to teach the kids valuable things that will help them in the future, like cooking. We use what God gives us for his glory and for his kingdom. And so rather than compare and say, well, why isn't he doing it? He's got more gifting than I have. We use what God has given us. Because remember, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, if you think I'm a one talent or half a talent person, give thanks to the Lord. Because do you know, to whom much is given, much is required. Imagine the person with all those giftings standing before the Lord on Judgment Day. To whom much is given, much is required. Praise God for what he's given you, and use what God has given you, and you will give an account on the final day. We don't want to be like that one who hid his talent in the ground. We want to be like those faithful ones that the Lord said, enter the joy of your master. Good work. Good and faithful servant. Take charge of 5 cities. Some of us say, I don't want any more. I don't want any more responsibility. Well, you know, in the millennium, it might be different. Have more strength and grace. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. We want that new body, resurrected body like Jesus. Wow. But we want to be faithful. Prove faithful here. And he will entrust you with more, even in the coming kingdom. So, we use what is entrusted to us. Don't compare. If one talent, praise God for it. Use it for his glory. And so he was humble, this servant. He was also prayerful. Prayerful. In verse 10, our Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Verse 13, behold, here I stand by the well of water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, you know, give me a drink, and can you water my 10 camels at the same time? Let her be your choice. What a bold prayer. What a bold, bold prayer. He must have learned from Abraham. But he was obviously in his own right a man of God who trusted God and was prayerful. But look at his prayer. Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success. Not for me, but to show kindness to my master Abraham. What verse 15. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, Rebekah, behold Rebekah, she came with a pitcher on her shoulder. Wow. Now, he did. He said, give me a drink. Yes, and I'll water your camels also. Amazing. How many of us would say I'd water 10 camels? I don't know about that. Anyway, the point is, sometimes before we ask, God answers, just like the lamb, just like that beautiful lamb that we acquired. But sometimes we need to be patient and continue to do what God told us last to do. Sometimes you think, I'm not hearing from God. But just keep on doing what he told you to do last. If he wants you to change directions or do something else, he will tell you. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. So don't give up. Keep going. Don't get distracted. Boy, there's a lot of distractions these days. Don't get distracted. Keep focused. Keep in communion with the Lord. Pray always. So let us keep in relationship with the Lord so we can hear from God, so we know the directions he's giving us, so we can step out as those wise and faithful servants. And we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. In verse 26, he said, then the man bowed down his head. Oh, wait, verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Amazing. Girls, if you were the one drawing the water for the 10 camels, they can all carry 20, they can all drink 20 gallons. And you've got your pitcher, and you're going back and forwards. My goodness, what would be going through your mind? Would you be saying, what about him? He should be over here helping me. It's a big thing to do. You'd think if he was a gentleman, he would get up and he would help. No, he didn't. He watched. He watched Rebekah doing all of this work. He watched to see if Rebekah would do what she said she would do. And sometimes it's important for us to be wise and to be watchful, because there's many people who say they will do something and they even start it, and they might do it for a short time and then they get tired and stop. He was watchful. We need to be watchful when we're entrusting tasks to people in the church, that they will do what they will say that they will do. So, the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Is she really the one, Lord? And praise God, Rebekah passed the test. And he said, I think she's the one. In verse 49, when Rebekah had taken him to her family and he had explained all of this marvelous revelation of his master Abraham and what he'd commissioned him to do and how the Lord led him and how Rebekah came at the right time in the midst of his prayer, and she did exactly what he had prayed, and she was faithful. Then he says, now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. You know, there's a lot of people that have us on. You know, they keep us, they take our time, and they never really commit, and they just keep us busy, busy, busy with them. And he's saying, look, I haven't got time to mess around. Are you in or Rebecca says yes, and the family says okay. And the servant would not delay in returning with Rebecca. He wasn't about to have a holiday, as it was offered. Stay here 10 days, just relax. No, 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 I'm on a mission. I gotta get back. If Rebecca's coming, let's go. We've got a long journey, and my master is waiting. So it's important to be watchful as wise and faithful servants. And of course, he was worshipful. In verse 26, then the man bowed down his head and he worshipped the Lord. And verse 27, so this is when he, you know, right there at the well, in front of everyone, he bows down and worships. He's not ashamed. And verse 27, he said, blessed be the Lord God. Again in verse 52, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And of course, it's wonderful when you see bang, 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 bang. Oh, everything is just falling into place. Oh, God, you're so good. And it's so easy to worship the Lord because of all the good things that we see he's doing. But you know, God is worthy of worship always. Not only when we see everything falling in line, because our worship goes beyond the circumstances. God is always worthy of worship. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So, how are we? How do we measure up? How do we measure up as wise and faithful servants of the living God? Are we trustworthy? Are we faithful? Are we following him? Are we doing what he's called us to do? Are we prayerful? Are we worshipful? Are we watchful? It's all a part of being servants of the living God. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. Let me read 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. It's good for us to remember as we walk through this world, as we're following the Lord, it's nice for us to remember that there is an accounting day. There is a day when we give an account to our Lord and Master of what he has asked of us and what our response has been. Let us rise up and be those wise and faithful servants, because it will be good for us when the Lord comes, that he finds us doing what he has called us to do and not shirking our responsibilities. It will be good to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so I challenge, what has God asked of you? Are you doing it? And if you're not, why not? If you're not, when? We should not put the Lord off. He is our Lord. He is our Master. Our response is, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? I will follow you. I will do whatever you call me to do, because what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Yes, I've taken the cup of salvation, but I'll lift it up so that others also might come to know the Lord. God grant on that final day when Jesus comes, every last one of us will not be ashamed, but we'll be able to stand before our Master and say, I've done what you've asked me to do. And we will hear his, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you drew us by your Spirit to Jesus. We are so thankful that we have come to know Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. We've embraced Jesus as our Savior. We've also embraced him as our Lord. And we want to be those obedient servants. We don't want to be shirking when you've called us to do our part. Lord, may we not compare with each other. You've given every one of us something to do. You've entrusted something, given us something in our lives, and we know we will be accountable. And so, Father, we just lay aside all the hesitancies, all the comparisons, and Lord, you're our master, and we're getting instructions from you, and you always clarify through your word. We know what you're calling us to do. May we rise up and be obedient in the small task and in the bigger task. Whatever it is, Lord, may you find us say, here am I, I'm willing. I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you say. God grant it in this place. And Lord, those who are sitting on the fence, who sometimes they've heard the word over and over and never truly made a commitment to you, I pray you will challenge them this day by your Spirit, that they will know the decision that they need to call on you and be saved. Have your way in every one of our lives, we pray. You are God, we are not. You made us, and you've just blessed us that we can become your children and we can serve in the family of God. We thank you. We thank you, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you for the privilege of being here today.